And I'm going to talk about managing Windows Phone app for enterprise or business organizations in general. I am originally from Flanders, and ik spreek Nederlands. Nog andere Nederlandstaligen? Matthijs natuurlijk. Dat is Hollands, Matthijs. Est-ce qu'il y a des francophones? Oké. En spreken ze Duits? Yeah, we all do. All right, thank you, welcome. I know it's the last session of the day, and obviously I have a little technical issues that I will try to solve before I start my demo, but I think we'll have a good session. I'll try to make it a good session anyway for you. When we talk about applications for enterprise customers or business customers, we obviously talk about applications that run on Windows Phone 8.0. You know that Windows Phone 8.0 came to market in end of October of last year. It was a new platform for us, a new operating system on a new hardware platform. It's based on Windows NT, has a number of core security and operating system technologies that we inherit from big Windows, as we say, to run on a small device. Runs on an ARM architecture, obviously, a system on a chip from Qualcomm. And based on that platform, we can offer a lot of business functionality, and it's a good platform for us to grow on as we move forward in the world of mobile, if we can, and devices as such. We obviously have this experience that now is very well known, and that I cannot call by its name, but the tiles that deliver up-to-date information directly without having to enter an application, very customizable for the user, very fluid and quick, that is also available across other devices, tablets, PCs, and Xbox One, right? Any Xbox One players? I'll keep my hand up. Or Xbox players, right? Who has played an Xbox One? All right, I'm looking forward to that, by the way. But it's available across the Microsoft platform today. And obviously, integration of all the Office tools built in. You don't have to install any of the Office tools, apart maybe from welcome. You all have a card. You received a card when you came in? Great. Because you're going to be able to win a phone. The integration of the collaboration and communication infrastructure on the phone that is built in integrates well with the Office servers, if I can call it that way, that you probably in your organizations are already using today. And then manageable through Windows Intune and System Center 2012, but also through a number of third-party vendors that today support Windows Phone 8. And is anybody from Point Sharp in the room? I ask every session, but they are too busy in the booth, I think, to present what they are doing around Windows Phone. They're one of them. Others are Mobile Iron, AirWatch, Afaria, Symantec, Zenprise, but now Xen Mobile from Citrix as they were acquired, and some other ones globally. Silverback, but I think they're mostly in Asia-Pacific active, and others. And others will be able, more of them will be able to support Windows Phone. And these management systems specifically are also very important for this session, because this session is about managing the phone and specifically managing applications from a business perspective. How do you do that? What do you need to do to be able to distribute applications to your phones, Windows phones? And how then do you manage these applications and manage the devices that these applications run on the application platform that we deliver a number of sessions on specifically for developers. So this is more of a crossover session, I would call it, between an IT department and a developer's department, if you want, right? How do we organize developing applications and then distribute them to our users in a secure way? Everybody is in the right session? Yes, great. Just bring it over. My phone is broken that I need to do the demo with. So I'll check it in a minute. Give me a second. Just need to configure the demo network. I can find the code. Oh, there it is. Thanks, Augusto. There's so many Microsoft people in the room, I actually feel a little intimidated, but I think I'll get through it. So when we talk about applications on Windows Phone, we basically have two classes of applications that can be installed on a phone. We have private applications, which would be your applications that you develop, versus public applications that anybody can install who has a Windows phone and a Microsoft account to authenticate against the Windows Store. There are lots of similarities because an enterprise application or a private application is the same application, basically, as an enterprise application. There are no special APIs, no special capabilities that are not available to any other application as such. You can use the same sensors, etc., as any other application, and the same tools, right? Visual Studio tools for Windows Phone that you can use to develop your applications. However, there are also some differences in the sense that these are created by you, for your employees. You do not distribute them through the public marketplace, so anybody else in the world cannot see your application or install your application. They're only available to you. And you don't have to go through a certification process, as we described yesterday in the security session. There's no certification of the application itself, which means that you are responsible for the security, the behavior, the content in the application, etc., within your organization, right? You don't have to comply with the marketplace policies as we have them on our developers' site, and you can read them there. Now, how do you then deploy these applications to the phone? The first one is through the store. You can still do a kind of private application if you want and still go through the certification like a public application, but hide the application for all the users in the world. It becomes a hidden application, and in that case, you could distribute those applications by distributing a direct link to the application, a URL basically, that you only know. Some people prefer that. They don't want to do a back-end management system or anything like that. They're not so concerned about this application leaking into the broader world. They still want to protect it a little bit. But there's no real security on that type of distribution process. For real private distribution, you have actually two options. You have a question. So if you publish a hidden application, yes, then they need to be certified, right? They go through the same certification process as any other application. They have to comply with the same policies, etc., right? So it's a standard application in the marketplace. The only thing is it has an attribute that you can set when you submit it as a hidden application. Now, a hidden application is available to anybody who can authenticate with a Microsoft account. So it means if an employee of your organization forwards this URL to somebody else outside the organization, they can click the URL and download the application too. Right? There's nothing that prevents that from happening as such. If you do a distribution, you do it through a managed system, like from these vendors. and we'll talk and demonstrate that in a bit. And then you can do it through an unmanaged way, meaning you do not really manage the devices, but you have a process of distributing the applications to the devices in a somewhat secure way. And I'll demonstrate, show you and demonstrate that too, okay? So I'm trying to set all the concepts to make sure we are all in the same place. So a big advantage of private distribution is that there is no certification, right? Some organizations are concerned about giving Microsoft their code and their application, have Microsoft certify that application, which is understandable. We don't give our code to everybody neither, right? And then obviously you can securely and privately distribute your applications. They're under your control. You control which phones can have these applications, and you can easily update these applications in your collection so they get to the phones just like they would be getting to a phone if they were in the store, that they can update automatically to existing phones. To start this process, you need actually to go through the verification process. Let me go to my PC here. Hopefully I push the right button. Yes, I do. Oh, and go to the browser. So if you go to the windowsphone.com or dev.windowsphone.com, that's the first step. You need to go there with two people, so to speak. Think about this as we are a team. We need to go there with two people. You need to register your organization as a developer organization because you need to get the credentials, the registration, and et cetera as such. Why I say you need to go with a team is because there is always somebody who needs to approve your actions. If you're the person who takes the action for your organization, there needs to be a second person who approves your action. So there will be approval emails going to somebody within your organization, which is the second person that he needs to react to keep the process flowing. And I'm kind of repeat this, because sometimes people forget it and then start sending emails and calling Microsoft and saying, this is not going forward. And very often it is a problem of a verification thing within the organization. Somebody has not approved the process, or the email arrived in a junk folder instead of in the inbox itself, right? So it's just something to keep track of as such. And there are other steps in this process that also need two people, and I'll come back to it in a second. So go to dev.windowsphone.com, register as a organization, and a little here in the registration information. Oops, no network. There it is. So if you go to the registration information, you need to register as a organization, not as an individual, right? Okay, I was just going to show you the word organization. It'll come back to us. So register as an organization, and with two people. Then the next thing that you will have to do is once you have our registration, which is usually a very short process, you can use the information in your registration, and it will be, and the link is on our website, for you to go to the Symantec website or the previously VeriSign organization for the purchase of a certificate. You'll need to purchase a certificate from Cymantec to be able to sign your the packages that you are creating and the tokens that you need. I'll explain in a minute what that is, so you can distribute applications in a private way, right? This is basically the security we build in. VeriSign will also do a verification of your organization, like with any developer, as we explained yesterday, and then work with you to get a certificate. When you do this, you need to remember two things. There's a second person involved who need to approve your purchase. And second, when you do this, make sure you do it from one browser. I'm sure you're all using IE, but choose the browser on the PC and make sure that once you have done this, don't clear the cache, etc. The one you request a certificate, there will be another certificate installed in your browser immediately to identify you, and you will have to go back with that browser and that PC to the Cymantec website once the certificate is ready for you to download. Only that PC will be able to download it, right? So remember, two people, do it on one PC, and remember which browser you're using to do it, okay? And then once you have the certificate, you will have to install the certificate and create an export of the certificate chain, which is a very standard Windows process for anybody to do as such, so you can use it specifically. You need to export it to the PFX format for you to use. Export the full chain of it, not just the signing certificate, but the root certificate too, so that it is working on the developer station that you want to use it on, or developer stations that you want to use it on. Questions about the certificate? The price is $300, I think, to $299 at this point in time. Price is set by Cymantec. They sell that certificate. We don't sell certificates as Microsoft. Okay? Now, what is this certificate used for? The first thing it's used for is to create a token, or the full version of it, an application enrollment token, or EAT. Why do we need this token? This token needs to be on every phone that you want your applications to run on. If that token is not on that phone, then application signed with the Cymantec certificate will not run. Okay? A token is a very simple XML file, and I believe I have one open here, right? It's a very simple XML file that contains your enterprise identity, which is a... Right? It's a simple XML file with an enterprise identity, this thing here, right? A very long thing, right? That's all it is. It identifies you as an organization, and it is signed with a certificate that you have received. So it's a signed identity, if you want. You can call that a certificate or something. We call it a token. That token needs to be on every phone that will run applications signed, again, with the same certificate. You can generate the token yourself using an interactive tool, which is part of the developer's tool kit that you have for Windows Phone. It's actually in the tools branch of the developer's toolkit. Right here, right? So on the disk here in files, Windows SDKs, Windows Phone 8.0. We also support 7.1 and 7.0. That's the previous versions. Not for this process, though, right? This only is available for 8.0 in the tools. You will have the EAT generator that enables you to generate an EAT, or a and also the signing tool, which you will need to sign your applications, your packages with, to be able to run on this phone, right? And I'll explain and I'll show you a little later that an MDM system short size Windows Intune, you can upload this into Windows Intune and Windows Intune will take care of the generation of the EAT and the signing. You don't have to do it interactively in that case. With an MDM system, obviously, a lot of these things that we cover in the unmanaged scenario will be automated and managed for you, so it becomes easier. So you use an MDM server for in a managed scenario or not an MDM server, interactive, to generate an EAT, and then it will be, you can install it on a phone. I'll show you how that works. And once it works, the phone can receive application packages and run those application packages. The user cannot remove the token unless they hard reset the phone to factory settings, then all the customization will go away, including the EAT. If you are an unmanaged shop, right, and the use case we have for that is you're a small software house building applications that in the end you want to publish in the Windows Phone Store, etc., but you want to have a set of people easily being able to test and run the betas of your applications while you're working on it. You don't want Microsoft to know about it in any way, so you don't want to submit it to the marketplace until your game-changing application is ready, right? If some of your developers leave the organization and take their phone away, the way to get the token off that phone is to reset the phone, remotely wipe it, or have the person hard reset the phone themselves. In a managed environment, that is different. If you manage it, the management system can actually remove the token from a phone, as well as the applications that you have developed. So generating an EAT is simple. This is kind of a placeholder. You get the slides so you can look at them. It will simply create, it just needs the certificate that you received with its password and creates the EAT files as such. An EAT as well as a certificate need to be renewed on a yearly basis. The certificate renewal you do with Symantec. The EAT you generate yourself and renew it yourself, all right? It has your publisher ID, your enterprise ID, as I already said, and then it identifies or it uses what we call the enterprise service. It's a service that runs on the INT operating system on the phone, validates the EAT and also validates the packages that are coming down from a installation point to make sure they match to it with each other, right? If they don't match, the package will be unexecutable, basically. A company account and an EAT are checked on a regular basis. This enterprise service runs in the background as a schedule of running and rerunning, if you want, and checks EATs on a very regular basis and reports back to Microsoft. We have a global web service that we use to check enterprises as such. We don't know a lot about the phone. We know the phone ID, your ID, and we know the enterprise app ID, which is generated through your development. The reason we do this is because this is really the way to go if you want to create a second Windows Phone Store somewhere in the world, right? You register as an enterprise, you start developing all kinds of games, you may be even able to hack some existing packages that are already in the store, you re-sign them with your tool, you set up a website that looks nice, and you have say people, hey, come here, register, and when they register, they click on a link that installs an EAT, and then they can go in the shop and buy stuff from you. So we check for what we call illegal marketplaces. That's why we do this checking. It happens on a regular basis, there is a discrepancy between, let's say, your registration, etc., somebody will call you, right? You will get a call from Microsoft in some way to make sure that We understand what's going on. If you are an organization of 250 people and all of a sudden you have 6 million users, looks like there is something that is not kosher, if I can say it that way, right? And we will talk to you, right? We won't push a big red button and shut you down. We'll talk to you. So it is a person involved. When a check fails, there is the internet, right? We all know how the internet fails from time to time, or for all kinds of reasons, there could be a check fail. That can happen because somebody shuts off his phone for a long time. And what does that mean for a person who has a phone whose check failed? What does that mean? They start the phone back up, they can still use their existing applications, but they cannot immediately install new applications. The enterprise service will, on a regular basis, at least start up and try again, right? And check and fail after 10 days, I believe. Is it somewhere on the slide? I believe it's 10 days. The enterprise service, when it's shut down, will at least run once every 7 days, right? So it runs, it checks again, the phone is valid again, it will re-enable the phone, right? If it fails the first time, it will check the next time if the phone is on and running. It will check the next day, and it will do that at least 7 days in a row to try again to fix the check, right? So after the seventh failure, it will shut down, if you would like, see installation of new applications through this mechanism. Questions? Yes. Will you have to re-sign all your applications? Is that what you're...
To re-download all the
applications. No. Yeah. So the certificate renewal is an administrative process, right? You will continue to use the same certificate, only it will be renewed through Symantec CA. So the Symantec CA will never shut down your certificate because they do a check on your certificate. No, in principle not, no. You don't have to redistribute EAT or applications. You have to go through the process and renew so that the web services that do the check knows that you are a valid customer as such, right? Don't reinstall applications, no re-enrollment, all that kind of stuff. Happens automatically. Yes? I'm not sure you want me to answer that question. No, you are in charge, right? So when your certificate expires, are you going to get an email or a phone call or something like that from us or Symantec that it's going to expire? No. You're in charge. You're responsible for your website, your certificate renewal, all those kind of things, right? Now, if you know how this goes in this process. I don't know if you've been in this situation, but your certificate expires, they will put you in a gray zone, right, at a certain point in time. And you will notice, hey, something's wrong, and you take action, and they will immediately re-enable you. So you don't have to take action. If you let the grace point expire too, you'll probably be in more trouble because then you will have to start re-signing and those kind of things. Yes.
So
it's a good one. Can you have multiple tokens and multiple applications from multiple enterprise authorities? The answer is yes, and I'll demo that.
Okay.
Yes. Other questions? So application signing. Obviously, when there is a store application, it gets signed too, right? Also, before it gets uploaded into the Windows Store and can be installed. On the phone itself, it's using certificates already available in the operating system, and then it gets installed as you, as a publisher, you co-sign basically this application through this process. It's not just Microsoft, it's a VeriSign plus you co-signing that is going on. From an NDM and an unmanaged environment, you sign your applications using the signing tool that I showed earlier, interactively, if you want, or through an MDM system who can do it automatically for you. You upload a certificate in the MDM system, and it takes care of signing those applications appropriately. And then the SAP is enterprise signed and can be distributed. It's a very straightforward process, actually, to do that. In terms of preparing a package for enterprise distribution, you can have two ways, right? You can have your own unmanaged scenario where you own and do everything. The compilation process is a little different. As such, you create IL code, and then the MDL compile is done, and it's signed, etc., and uploaded. While if you do it through an MDM portal, it's a more direct approach. The MDM portal takes part of it. In a manual approach, you will have to take two steps to do it. Right? We optimize the code with Windows Phone 8 to run faster. That's why there is a two-step approach. The MDM system takes care of that. If you do it manually, you will have to do it yourself as such and create the signed SAP files in the machine-dependent code that you have. This is just for reference. This is how the signing tool works when you use the interactive method, and then with pre-compiled signs to the final signs, the second step. A managed deployment with an MDM server needs a device to be unrolled, right? And enrollment is a process that I'll go through with the demo device, hopefully. Let's first do a unmanaged deployment, okay? Let's just go to the PC before we do a managed deployment. I don't know this phone, but I'm sure since it's coming from Raleigh, it's the best phone we have. And we'll wake it up. Let's try again. Maybe I did something wrong. So we have a phone here. That is basically unmanaged, I suppose. We'll know in a minute if it does or not. And this phone is standard phone. There is a Microsoft account on it. Let's just go to settings. I'm gonna need these a lot, so let's just. Is this phone in retail mode? Don't think so. Anyway, doesn't want to move immediately. So if it would be managed, it would say here that there is a management server in the company app setting. So it's not managed. Let's go to a website and let's enroll this phone into Office 365. Where is Office? Oh. All right. So I'm just going to enroll it in Office 365, something that a lot of the of your users would do, right? Or in an Exchange server, you would add an Exchange account to it. The reason I do this is because I want this phone, it's an unmanaged phone, and I want this phone to have access to a SharePoint server, and I'm using a SharePoint server on Office 365. It's a semi-secure way. Well, it's Office 365 is secure, but the distribution process via a secure SharePoint or web server is kind of a semi-managed, semi-secure way to get people access. You could obviously email everybody a token and XAP files, right? Just by email. And you could do that too. It's over an Exchange server, it's secure. You could do it over some consumer environment, maybe less secure. So let's add David Alexander. And it's a little more typing on this one because I don't have the configuration document that I could copy and paste here, but and he has a really good password, I believe. So it's looking for the Office 365 settings. And it found them. It's good. I'm not going to install Link on this phone. We don't need it for the demo. We'll just say, OK, go ahead. OK, I need to set a password. I'll do that too. We're good. We have a phone that is now semi-managed with EAS, basically. And we have configured a Fabricom website here. Which is our SharePoint site, and we also have email for David on Exchange, right? David is me, if you didn't know that. But anyway, so we now have a phone that has access to a website to install applications as such. By the way, this phone is now also encrypted. You didn't see it, but encryption is on. And if I go to settings, and now go to phone storage. It loads a storage service on NT kernel, and it's not yet encrypted. I need to check a Fabricom website if the encryption is the encryption policy not on? Okay, I'll do that later. I'll turn it on and we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's go to Office. Oh, it is already on the start screen. Sorry, I don't know this phone guy, so it makes me. Here is Office. And go to the Fabricom website. It's Fabricam. All right, here it is. We have shared documents. Within the shared documents, one way of doing it is just to create a folder. A folder with files in it, an EAT as you can see, as well as a few app packages signed with the same certificate. I could click the EAT. It's going to go to the browser to do this. And I'll have to log him in again. The browser is sandbox, so it doesn't know about what the Office environment is doing. We'll use his password again. So it's opening the EAT. And I'm going to add it to the phone, and that's it, right? Basically, this is the EAT that is in this folder, and let's go to the website itself and browse it for a minute. Right, this is my Fabricam website. So you see these shared documents with the Windows Phone 8 apps in there that we had. I also installed a web page to show you how it could look on a web page, and go to Windows Phone 8 apps. Let's try again. There we go. Right. This is just a web page which I wrote a little stuff on, like click here to install the EAT. I'm not saying that. Users don't have to know how it's called, right? Just click here for getting this done and do anything you want. Don't call us. We don't give you support. a managed scenario, right? And then a list of applications. These are the best applications we have for you. Please install them. The way I did it here is I showed three ways, right? You can do just a URL. People don't know the name of the application. You show it. You can do tiles, whatever design. You can see that I am a great designer. But anyway, it's a simple interface you can create from a web perspective. People can browse to and install applications. So if I click on an application, and I'll probably have to do it twice, there it is. The application is downloaded, opened automatically through the browser, and I can say, yes, install it. All right? Let's go to the home screen and the application list. Rolly, you put too many stuff on this. I don't know where to find this. It should show up in a minute. Here it is, Windows Phone 8 app. The best application you can have. It shows you page name. That's it. All right? So it's a productivity tool, all right? It's a simple way of distributing applications. Now, if you have a new version of this application, you will have to inform the user that there is a new version. There is no automatic update of this application. It's an unmanaged scenario, okay? It's simple, it works. You don't have any backend work to do. Right, if you want to test in the early stages around how does this work, business apps for me, this is a good way to start, and you can move to an MDM system a little bit later. Although I know most customers these days are looking at mobile device management systems. You have a question?
Yes, regarding updates.
Wait a minute, it's not working. Is it on?
Hello?
Yes, great.
It's regarding updates. I know in the... if you make a company hub, you can query for all applications made by the same publisher.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you see the version information?
Yes, you can.
So you could theoretically make a background worker that checks for new versions of the installed applications?
Yeah, you could do that. But you're basically creating a mobile device management system right there, right? You're starting to design one capability of it is knowing which version of applications are running on these phones that I have designed for my employees. Is there a new version? Should I update this version? It's probably one functionality you would like to have in a mobile device management system. You can do that yourself by developing it completely.
But could you trigger the update process from another application?
No, you could not. You could point the user to a new application. You could create a notification, right, in your company hub that says, hey, new version, tap the notification and then it takes an action, for example, to point to browser. Matthias, am I right? Can I point to browser from an application? Yeah. Okay. Great.
So thank you.
Matthias is our developers guy, so he knows much more about the SDK and developing apps than I do. So this is basically a unmanaged scenario, right? I can show you the website on the PC itself. Not a lot to see, I suppose, right? It's in Office 365. It's a team website. It's probably going to ask me to re-authenticate, I suppose. I'm on the site as an admin, but it doesn't, right? The same page. This is the desktop page. I can go to the Windows app page and see the same interface. Obviously, cannot install these apps on my Windows phone, on my Windows PC at all. They are Windows phone apps as such. All right, questions about this? Let's move to managed. Let's see how managed work and then also demonstrate that. So in a managed system, the MDM server needs to enroll a device, which is a little different in the sense that from a device management configuration perspective, the device needs to enroll. You need to know who the user is, who the device is. Once you know that from an MDM perspective, you're going to put something on the device that identifies the device uniquely and for device management enrollment. That will be a certificate that will be put on the device, so you can authenticate the device every time and set up a secure SSL connection between the device and your management server. Most all management servers I know use SSL connections to internet-facing devices, right? It's a custom authentication process and SSL pipe that you set up between. So all the applications that you develop gets installed on the device, etc., go all through that SSL connection and in an encrypted way. All the communications from the MDM server go through that. During that enrollment, and I'll show you an enrollment in a minute, there's also this application enrollment. In other words, at the same time of the device enrollment in the MDM system, there will be a token put on the device as well as initially the first app. That could be a company hub like you have developed, or it could be a company portal like most other MDM vendors use, an application that will be used to show the private app catalog to the users and allow the users to install applications. A company hub is a little richer, and we'll talk about it in a little later. In a company hub, you can do not just that. You can also, from your company hub, query what other applications are on the phone from you, and then surface these applications for the user. So the user goes to one spot to find all your applications and doesn't have to go into the app list or pin them to start, although he can do that too, if they wish to, right? The MDM server uses this company portal app to install and show applications to the user as such. Yeah, the unmanaged we just did. So the difference between the two, let me finish, is that for a managed scenario, you need to make an investment, right? An investment in a mobile device management system. It is not something that comes ready to go for free as such. The phone has a mobile device management client built in, but you need to make the investment, the deployment, etc., work with a partner, or if you are a partner, work with a customer to be able to bring all that in-house. Unmanaged is something you can easily and quickly build, right? A website is brought up very quickly to do tests, and you can, over time, invest in it as such, right? The managed system will automatically create the sign and do all the signing you need for applications. You don't need to take care of that. When you do an unmanaged system, you will have to do it yourself. And you make errors, right? Interactive systems are usually somewhat error-prone, and things may not always work out as you want. But it's something you can choose for as you will. An enrollment from a management system can be automated. You can, from a central point of view, from the management console, unenroll the device from the management system, which means that the token will disappear, the certificate will be removed, the applications, etc., that have been installed on the phone will be removed, and depending on the management system, other things like the exchange enrollment, etc., can also be removed. Functionality is a little different at that point in time, but from an app perspective, the management system can automatically unenroll and clean the phone for you, if you want, before the employee actually leaves the organization. In an unmanaged system, you will have to ask the user to unenroll, basically, or reset the phone, because otherwise he walks out with everything on the phone. You can still ask him to uninstall the phone without phone reset, but if he gets access to one of your packages, he can still install it because the token is on there. So the safest way for an unmanaged unenrollment is actually a full wipe of the device, right? You can do multiple unmanaged enrollments. You can only do one managed enrollment, right? You can only be managed by one MDM server, but you can have multiple tokens from multiple organizations as long as they fit in an unmanaged scenario. So you asked the question before, right? Is can I have, I'm a consultant, I am actually, let's say you're managed by your consultant organization, or and you go to work for another organization, they want you to run some of their apps too. If they can provide you the token and the apps, in an unmanaged way, they can you can run those apps on your phone. Or it could be the other way around. You have a small consulting shop and they are a big organization. They want managed, they want more control like big organizations want, and you say, I can do unmanaged for myself and my five other colleagues as such, right? No. So multiple managed scenarios are not supported. You can only have one MDM server controlling the device, right? And you talked about it a little bit. An MDM system will automatically create inventory of all the apps, etc., that are installed on which phones, which apps are available as that. You can, in an unmanaged system, someone do that itself, but it will require additional development effort to understand which applications are on the phone to serve them on a custom hub that you have built for an unmanaged scenario. Right? In a management system, it's easier to get that information as the management client. Automatically gathers the information for the management server and can be used by your applications. Questions about this? The differences between the two or the similarities? Let's do a demo about this. So we're going to go back to the phone. Right. Put them full screen so you guys can see them good. So this is a phone that is running one token from an unmanaged scenario and one application, right? What was it called? Windows Phone 8 or something like that? We should name these demo applications differently to be able to find them. But anyway, I'm going to go and unroll this David Alexander now in a management system. To do that, I'm going to instruct David to go to Company Apps. The Company Apps applet in the settings screen is the applet used to enroll in a management system, right? And I'm going to enter the same type of thing. I'm going to add an account. I should have copy and paste here, right? Okay. I'm not 100% sure of this. .1, I think. So I'm going to pause here for a minute. The reason I'm pausing here is you can do the same thing for a mobile device management system as you could do for an Exchange server. And that is implement through DNS a auto-discovery. Based on the domain, there would be the phone would go out to the domain name services, find your mobile device management server through the DNS record, and go to that server automatically and pull the stuff down for the user, right? The implementation that I have here will fail because I don't have auto-discovery on for this server specifically. So I'm going to try to implement, and it pretty quickly fails, right? It shows me the advanced screen, so to speak, and I will have to enter my stuff here and remember my stuff. Let's see. Well, I'll go out of the full screen in a minute. I know it's David Alexander, so let's take David. Right. And then it's Fabricrum. Inc. is the domain. And this is this is it. dash s, I suppose, right? Yes. Any Intune users in the room? One Intune user. Windows Intune, no? Manage.microsoft.com is your management console for Intune. Hope I didn't mistype anything. Yes. Okay. Oh, did you not see this? That's bad. So I entered all this stuff here. What's going on? Oh yeah, I have the dock up. That's it. The network is not very fast here. Unless I type something that is wrong, still have network. Everybody's waiting for you. Okay, I'll come back to it when it wants to, and I'll show you what the result is. So this is similar phone, also integrated in the Fabricom environment, right? Same SharePoint site, those kind of things. It also is enrolled in the MDM system. So it did it. So it's done. This is the end of the enrollment system. It says also, should I install a company hub or an app directly when after enrollment? And we're going to say done. The phone is now enrolled in Fabricom. You can see the information here for the MDM server, etc. User can check this or can force the device to connect to the MDM server whenever he thinks that is something that is required. On the MDM server, you can set intervals for callbacks and those kind of things that are typical for an MDM server. As a result, since I said, yes, install me an app, I'm going to go to my app list, and there is a company portal here. I'll pin it to start. That is now installed. This is the app that was installed with the MDM server, and it's basically a catalog of apps that live in the MDM server catalog. Right, and that I will have to authenticate again, and the user can cache this. David, keep it signed in and go. connecting to the catalog that lives in the cloud on Windows Intune to show the user the applications available to him so he can install it. The portal app from Windows Intune gives you the opportunity to define categories, etc. So while it's doing that, seems the network is slow or Intune is slow. I don't know what's going on exactly. In the meantime, we can go to the browser. This is me, the manager of this thing. Is it ready? Oh, yeah, it's coming. Oh, we can't connect. It's connecting. Yep, there it is. All right. So the user now has a catalog of apps on the phone that they can use to install other apps. They can look at computer management, which is the actual category, which is actually the app that they're looking at, and a productivity tool, which is the weather forecast, right? They're a sales guy on the road with a car, so they need to know what weather it is. And they can install these apps directly from this tool and say, okay, install the app, and get it. So if I go now and I look at the app list, we should have weather forecast. Don't think we have it yet. Or is it this one? No, it's not. Anyway, we'll install a few more in a minute. So let's go and have a look at the management environment quickly. And error. Try again. Here is Intune. The two things I wanted to show you within the Intune management console is, first of all, that you can put policy, just like with EAS. You can create policies for your mobile devices, right? And it will show you all the policies for mobile devices right here. You can also manage desktops, etc. But it's the same type of policies you can see in all mobile devices, password management, encryption, those kind of things. You set configuration on the device to make sure it's managed and no. Plus, you can also pull reports, etc., from your devices to see how many you have and what's on it. I only have one, so I don't really need a report to show that. The most important thing and to this session is actually that you can also install applications on the device or make applications available for the devices. We have detected software, right? You were asking about which software is running on all my devices. And then we have managed software. In the managed software section, you see here that I have four applications up and ready for people to use. You didn't see David see four applications, right? Because I prevented two of the applications to install on David's device. You can actually create groups of people in Windows Intune and target specific applications to specific users because you authenticate them anyway. But I didn't give David the game, right? And I didn't give him the MyTechEd application because he didn't need it. But I want to be generous to him, so let's give him a game. And I'm going to say I have only one group. Next, and I'm going to take this group, and as you can see, it's not installed. I'm going to allow it to be available for installation and finish that. Right? As a result, when David goes back to his company portal, now, since it's taking a long time again, how can I get to there? I'm going to also show you a few other things we can do here. Not this way, but I'll open it up. I'm going to add software. And this is a management system, so it's checking of the application to do that. I'm going to have to log in there too as an admin, right? Can't connect. So go back and forth and it connects. Well, tries again anyway. Is it ready? Yeah. Oh, I'll do this in a minute. But yeah, there's a new a category now under other apps, and that's where David can now install Marble Maze on this phone and try his luck with this game. All right. In the meantime, I'm publishing another application that I upload. Well, I'm going to say it's an installer application. Where is the file to be installed? So my desktop in the TechEd folder. It's not. Oh, wait a minute. Cancel. Not an executable, it's a zap file, obviously, right? Let's take 6, open it, and next. The publisher is me, and that's the name. I can obviously change that name to something more friendly, right? So users know what it is all about. It's going to be in another category. In this case, I'm going to make it a collaboration app. You can create additional categories. You can add an image here or a tile. Let's see. Action is required. All right, adding a tile to it. So it's visible in the store as something that they recognize, and I'm going to upload it. If there are no errors in the XAP, it will be uploaded, signed, and immediately put in the catalog. It was successful. So if I go back now to my catalog, I can not see it unless I refresh, I suppose. Yeah, the network is really slow. Oh, there it is. So we have now a friendly app here, right, that I just published. Again, I can deploy it because at this point in time it's not deployed. I'm going to deploy it for everybody and say, yep, you can install it and finish that up. It's going to ask me to re-authenticate, I suppose. Yes, see. What? Oh, yeah. No, that's the wrong one. Too many buttons. I should have cached this. My apologies. Sorry? Oh, yeah, yeah. Now I lost the password, Augusto. Well, you've seen the process before. Just should have another category and another app now. I'll show it to you in a minute. Let's go back to the slides. When it's ready, I'll come back to it. All right, so user initiates an installation through a company portal app or a catalog app or a company hub app, which we'll talk about in a minute. They initiate it. It's not a push mechanism. There is no way for you to push applications to the phone, only the first application, and we obviously recommend that is the catalog app. From that point of the user can pull apps to the device. As such, from this app, obviously the list of applications you show on the device, you can customize for users through your MDM system, and only show them the applications that are important to them. So the functionality, as I said, is load a company app for a company portal, get a list of apps that are available in the store, and then start installing new apps. And look at the installation progress on the company portal itself. When we talk about a company hub, that's a special version of a company portal. It needs to be customized for you. It is not a standard version. If you go to Windows Intune, you will get a standard company portal that will do just what we talked about. Other vendors deliver that too. Some deliver more rich functionality as such, and that is done through a company portal approach or a company hub approach. My apologies. A company hub gives you the availability basically to not just present a list of applications but also to install these applications on the hub so that the user always go to the same place to find these enterprise applications. And a company hub can also use other functionality like linking to your intranet site, if you have one like that, for company news or newsletters for the from the organization, etc. Most company hubs that we see are hubs that are developed like this, as a hub view, like the people hub or the game hub, etc. Right, a panoramic view of functionality that the user can scroll through, but you can do it in other ways too, using any control. It's a standard application developed by you, and that uses this type of functionality, right? By you or a partner that you work with. That we did all during it. So summarizing, enable for you to be able to distribute applications to a Windows phone, you need to register with Microsoft. Based on that registration, you go forward and register with Symantec for the signing certificates. You both registrations need to be renewed every year. Once you have the registration, you can use the tools to create a token as well as app packages, sign those, distribute both to your phones through unmanaged scenario or a managed scenario customizable for your organization, and then manage those apps. In a managed scenario, you can remove applications or unroll the device from the management system and remove the applications. In an unmanaged scenario, you have much less control over the phone and the applications that run on this phone. All right? Questions? We have more breakouts that are coming. Today we are done. Tomorrow we still have three breakouts, and obviously we are doing promotions. I don't know if the expo is still open later today with an Ask the Experts, I believe. We'll all be there, so you can come there and ask specific questions or talk to us if you want. Obviously we have labs, and the most important thing is the website to get all the information, including white papers of, about this process and how to distribute applications, also security, etc. If you need additional documentation, this is the place to go, windowsphone.com/business. You can download all that stuff there. And finally, you can win a phone right now. I don't know who has the little cards. You have the little cards? Is there anybody who hasn't turned in the card? Let's bring the cards to the middle of the, and then we'll collect them. And in the meantime, if you have any questions, just ask. You have a question? At, your question, you're saying in a managed scenario, you can only push one application to the device during enrollment.
Yes. The problem is, at the moment, we have about 5,000 or 6,000 devices based on Windows CE. So, and if we switch to Windows Phone, for example, I have a lot of employees that have to choose maybe 10 or 20 applications and download them to their phones. At the moment, we have a self-written update service. In the night, the devices wake up, checks themselves. There's a differential file, they call a web service, and tell them, hey, I have this application, these versions, and then the service creates a differential file with a if there
and
are any updates,
updates the application.
The device downloads
the night.
It, install it, and the next morning it's everything up to date.
Yeah.
So is this an in tune thing with only one application?
So if you're using a managed, so the question is, I can only push one application, so users have to install more applications than the one I can push, and then I have also an update service for all the devices that runs during the night. And I want to make sure that the applications, is there a solution for that in Windows Phone 8 with this system? So you can push one application to the device, and we recommend that is the catalog application. And then you have to instruct your users to install the applications they need. Once they are installed on the device, including your company portal, etc., and all the specific line of business applications that you have for these users, all these applications will be automatically updated. Once they're installed on the device, right? So the management server will, or the device connects with the management server, asks if there is any policy updates, or if the management server needs to know something about the usage and etc., as well as is there updates for applications. If they are available, they will be installed automatically. All right? So the only thing that we're missing in your scenario is you need to instruct these users to install, you said, about 20 applications, right?
Yeah, that's a problem, because if I have 5,000 people installing in half an hour or an hour their applications, it's cost money, and that's is something now. The device is doing this on their own at night.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no solution to do something like that. So initial rollout, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Now, there's no initial rollout of all these applications silently for the user, etc. We have received that feedback, and we are taking that feedback very seriously.
Okay.
But yeah, at this point in time, you will have to use some other mechanism to do it.
Can one application install other applications?
No, it cannot.
Ah.
No.
Otherwise, the catalog application could simply pull the server and then install everything needed.
Yeah, you can think about other things on how to incentivize your users to install them, but they will have to take the time to install them. If they have better network connection than I have today, it will go a lot faster, I can guarantee you. But they will have to install them. And they can install one after the other. They don't have to wait until, right, they can click, it starts installation, installation is going on, they click the next one, and et cetera, et cetera. They're not bothered by the installation, which is happening in the app list on the background. More questions? Just waiting for the phone? All right, let me be the innocent hand then, all right? There are a lot of them here. No, we need one that is completely hidden. This one. All right, who is it? Hirku Heichblatt or Eichblatt, right? How did I pronounce that?
Eichblatt.
Okay, Mirko?
Mirko.
Okay, what country are you from?
Germany.
Are you a Windows Phone user?
No.
Not yet? What are you using?
Yet.
What are you using?
iOS.
An iOS device. Yeah. Okay, time to go, man.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And if you have questions, we're at the expert zone. You can always come down there and ask questions, or just walk up to the. There's no session following here. I'm happy to help you.